Jesus' name, amen. And for those of you who do not understand that song that we were singing, it's a very powerful song. It says, you are the God of Israel and your name is Jehovah. It says, you are a God who listens. You are a God who is able. Nothing is too hard for thee, not even sickness. Amen. And if we really mean that, and you think about whatever challenge you are facing, and you keep on saying, Father, I thank you that you listen. I thank you that you are able. I thank you that nothing is too difficult for you, not even sickness. Can we confess that together? Father, I thank you that you are a God who listens. You are a God who is able. Nothing is too hard for you. Not even sickness. Not even my challenges. Amen. Amen. If we really believe that, I want us to start where we left off last week in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, from verse 1 to 10. I will do it in the New King James Version. I'm starting there because I want to show you that it doesn't matter what your situation is like. Your God is able. Amen. My God is able. Amen. And actually situations are there, problems are there to be defeated. That's why you have faith. And I like this story in Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 10 because it also shows us that even though we are Christians, even though we are children of God, sometimes we face things that are difficult. Things that in human mind would not be possible to be resolved. But God always shows himself strong on our behalf. Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to verse 10, New King James Version, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. Can we all say the bones were very dry? And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? I like that question. Okay? God makes Ezekiel to look at these bones that were indeed very dry, and then God asks Ezekiel a question, can these bones live? It's almost like God asking you about your situation, can this problem be resolved? You look at it and think it's like it's dry bones. I can't see how this thing will be resolved. Because if you see bones that are dry and very dry, and you are asked, can these bones live? Look at the answer. So I answered, O Lord God, you know. In other words, I think in his mind he was thinking, I don't think these bones can live. But nothing is too hard for my God. Then he said, O Lord God, you know. Okay? And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones. I like that. So after he was shown those bones that were very dry, God asks him a question, can these bones live? And then he says, you know. And then God says, you've got a part to play to make these bones live. Even in your own situation, you've got a part to play to make your bones live again. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you've got a part to make your bones live again. You don't just say, Lord, it's up to you. Lord, you know. You know, that's usually what we do. Oh, Lord, you know. It's all up to you, Lord. He says, son of man, prophesy to these bones. Amen. Son of man, speak to your bones. And what do you say to them? Oh, hear the word of the Lord. I like that. Amen. So that's why some of us stick with the word all the time, because we know we have something to tell bones. Amen. Amen. We've got something to say to the dry bones. Amen.
Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I want you to see the chronology of things. Firstly, Ezekiel looks at his situation, that at the bones, the dry bones that looked like it was a hopeless situation with this nation of Israel. His dry bones, no life. God asks him a question, can these bones live? He throws back the question to God and says, you God, you know. God throws the situation back to Ezekiel and says, but you prophesy to these bones. And he says, now I realize that the ball is in my court. I can't throw it back. So as I prophesied, the thing that I like about the word of God is that you just do what God tells you to do. He will do the rest.
Amen.
Amen. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So at least I think he could see that it seems faith works. I can see bones coming together. But still there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath on this slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. You see how this miracle took place? It was an interaction between God and the Son of Man. It was an interaction between God and mere human being like you and I. But then when God tells you to do something, if he says prophesy to this bone, speak to your situation, speak to it. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about our situation without ever speaking to it. And do you know that when you are facing challenges, I told you before that challenges are there to be defeated. Problems are there to be solved. Diseases are there to be healed. Amen? Even that financial lack is there for you to see the hand of God upon your finances. And you say to the dry bones in your bank account, dry bones, live again.
Amen.
Amen. Because some of your bank accounts look like dry bones. So you need to say to them, hear the word of the Lord. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen? And keep on speaking to the dry bones until they leave. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Passion Translation. I want to show you that actually when these challenges come, it's your opportunity to exercise your faith. I told you, even small challenges, like sometimes you've got headache, and you think, I've got headache. I know if I can take Panadol, this headache will go. But I think this is the opportunity to exercise my faith. Let me stand on the word of God and see if faith does not work. And did you know that when you stand on the word of God and you see that faith works, it gives you confidence to face the next challenge? Amen?
Amen.
So start where you are, and whatever challenge that you are facing, see it as an opportunity to see God at work. Because 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 in the Passion Translation says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. You remember even with Job, 2 weeks ago we talked about how God screened what was coming to Job. So it says, God is faithful. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, the timing, and every test or trial that you face that you can bear. Tell your neighbor, whatever you are going through, God has filtered it. And he knows you are able to handle it. Don't disappoint God. Amen. And then it says, and each test is an opportunity to trust him more. I told you that when you face this challenge and you trust God and you see that it works, now come the next test, I'll keep on trusting God and I'm learning to trust God more and more. That's why the song says, through it all, I have learned to trust in God. I have learned to depend upon his word. Amen. Amen. So if that is the case, today I want to talk to you about our profession of faith. Amen. We are continuing with that faith thing, but I want us to look at faith as a profession. And I will tell you two things. I looked at that word because I saw it there in the Bible. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Mr. Mukosi will do it for us in Hebrews, in the King James Version, KJV. Hebrews 10:23. And I want us to look at this because I always look at that and always jumped quickly to, from the King James, I would always go to the New King James. From the old King James, I would always go to the New King James because I wanted to see that word confession. But this time I liked it as in the old translation, which talks of it as a profession. And I'll tell you why. So read for us Hebrews 10:23, King James Version.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that he promised.
So in the King James Version, the old King James Version, it talks of our faith as a what?
Profession.
Yeah. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So quickly, we usually rush to the New King James, which says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. You can do it either of the two ways, but I like it now today. I want to talk of it in the old King James. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for the one who promised is faithful. So I went and looked at that word, profession. The meaning of that, this time I didn't go to Greek or whatever. I went to the simple English dictionary and look at the word profession. I usually know profession as like professing or confessing. But I also know that you guys also know profession as a job that pays you. Isn't it? So I went and looked, and they said profession is a paid occupation, especially one that involves prolonged training and formal qualification. Then I thought, okay, I can still take faith as my profession, faith as my job that pays. Amen? Amen. Yes. And I like this profession because you don't have to retire from it. You know that some of you have got a job and for a few years will hear that's your profession, and some years down the line, that's no longer your profession. What's your new profession? But can I tell you that faith is my profession? Tell your neighbor, I've got a profession of faith. And I want us to start with that first part. I'll come to the second part where you can use that word profession, meaning to confess. But I want to first take profession as an occupation that involves formal training and it pays. Amen. So as we are with you here and training you in the word, then when you are well equipped, you exercise your faith and you see that faith works. Amen. And it pays. Tell your neighbor, faith works and it pays.
Faith works and it pays.
Amen. That's the first part of profession. The second part of profession is what we always know. I'll do it in the New King James Version. Hebrews 10:23, New King James Version says, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So you can take faith and link it to confession. Okay? You see that word in the Old King James, they use the word profession. In the New King James, they use the word confession. Okay? And I say I like it both ways. I can take faith as my profession, faith as my occupation, and it pays. Amen? But I can also take faith as a confession, speaking the word, and it pays me to speak the word. But I can also link the word profession. Profession, if you take it as a verb, what would be if you take it as a noun, what would be the verb of profession? Profess. Okay? So I thought, okay, I can profess. What is to profess? It's to declare. It says a profession is an act of declaring that one has a particular thing when it is, even when it is not the case. You can say, he professed to be wise. In other words, that's what he claims. Amen? So can you profess some few things in your life? Okay? If you think professing is not working, then prophesy. Amen? Amen. You can profess it, you can prophesy it. And usually we always link the word to prophesy. You usually think about somebody prophesying over your life. But when I hear Ezekiel, he says, prophesy, son of man. Tell them the word of the Lord. So I want to take that prophesying, not in the way that you always know it, where you want somebody to tell you the future. You can take prophesying as speaking the word of God and declaring the future that you want. That's what Ezekiel was told. When God said, prophesy to this bone, tell them the word of the Lord. So when I'm speaking to my future, I'm prophesying. I'm declaring. I'm making a declaration and proclaiming those things to come to pass. Amen? So I can prophesy to my dry bones. I can speak because even God speaks. Do you know that God, when he created the heavens and the earth, he spoke? Okay, so Ezekiel's situation, it says the bones were dry. God's situation was, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then God said, he spoke a word over the situation. He said, let there be light. And there was light. So we have the same spirit of faith. We also believe and therefore we also speak. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:13 says. New King James Version, 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I speak. So it means we also believe and therefore we speak like God. Okay? God, in the beginning when it was dark, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the earth was without form and void. Things were just mixed up. The Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the deep. And then God said, so if things can work by just looking at them, then God should have just looked at darkness and things change. But God had to speak. So tell your neighbor, your situation will not change until you speak. Prophesy over your dry bones. Amen. Amen. We have the same spirit of faith, we believe, and therefore we speak. Amen. Jesus comes across a fig tree. He looks at a fig tree thinking that it has figs. When he drew nigh, he realized it did not have any figs. And then Jesus doesn't just look at the fig tree and think it will dry up. He speaks to it. And he says, no one eat fruit from you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard him. So Jesus knew the principle. We believe and therefore we speak. So as he spoke to the fig tree, when you look at it with the natural eyes, it still looked green. So tell your neighbor, don't mind if you have spoken to your fig tree and it still looks green. Don't be moved by what you see. Amen. So when Jesus spoke to the fig tree in Mark 11, it says, after that they continued on their journey. And when they were coming back the next day, Peter looked and saw that the fig tree had dried up from the roots. And he says, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So according to Peter, Peter was surprised that just speaking only, you spoke here yesterday, and now the fig tree is dried up. And Jesus didn't concentrate on the fig tree. He now said, have faith in God. Amen. Assuredly I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones. God spoke to the darkness. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. And he says, whoever shall say to this mountain. So it means you can speak to anything and it must hear you. Amen. When you speak in faith, you speak it and it hears you. And we do these things because I want us today to concentrate more on this profession of faith, which is a godly profession. God has called us to fellowship with him, and we have to do things his way. And actually, when you are connected with God, faith will not be a struggle. How many of you know that we use the faith of God? I like Galatians 2:21. It says, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me and gave himself for me. So in other words, the faith that I have is the faith of God. Tell your neighbor, the faith that I have is the faith of God. That's why it's powerful. Amen. Amen. So the same way that God spoke and things happened, we also speak and things happen. The same way that Jesus spoke and things happened, we also speak and things happen. Romans chapter 8, 14 to 17 in the NLT. Because I want to make faith simple for you, that you don't speak faith like psychologists would say, just keep a positive mind. You do faith in union with God. And when God is with me, this situation will become nothing before me because it is facing God himself. Romans 8, 14 to 17 NLT, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now, why I'm saying that, I want to look at this profession of faith as something that is from God himself. And we are doing it together with God. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit, and he adopted you as his own children. So it means the Spirit in you is the Spirit of God. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit. That's the part I want you to understand. The Spirit of God joins with my spirit. So the faith of God joins with my faith. And when I'm facing a situation, it's not just me alone. So the Spirit of God joins with my spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. So it means as a child of God, my faith is the faith of God. Whatever belongs to God is mine. We are heirs. When somebody is an heir, do you know who was to be an heir? Because it says here, we are heirs together with Christ. It means when my father has everything and I'm an heir, I also have everything. Somebody who understood well what is it means to be an heir. It was the prodigal son. Even though we only look at the prodigal son in the wrong way. Yes, in the way of getting lost. That's wrong. What he did when he squandered everything that the father had, that was bad. But at least he knew something that many Christians don't know. Can I tell you what he knew? You remember he said, the Bible says, Jesus says, there was this father, he had two sons. The elder one and the younger one. The younger one comes to the father and says, Father, give me my portion. Because he knew that he had a portion in the father's inheritance. He said, give me my portion. But when he was given his portion, the wrong thing that he did, of course he went and squandered it with riotous living and with prostitutes and all that. That was bad. But at least he knew that he has an inheritance. And after he squandered everything, when he was coming back to the father, because he repented, says, let me rather go back to my father. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of the hired servants. And as he was going back there, the Bible says the brother heard that they were celebrating about the younger brother that was back. And they were partying. And the father was saying, my son is back. My son is found. Let's celebrate. Just like when you repent. Do you know that there's great joy in heaven? Just when one sinner repents. So as this son was coming back, then the elder son now looks there and says, what's happening? He hears that there's a party. And then they told him, no, your brother is back and your father is thrown a big party for him to celebrate his coming back. And then the elder brother was very angry. This guy, he went away and he squandered everything you have. And now he comes back and you give him the best party. You've never done anything for me. I've been with you. He says, I've been slaving for you all these years. But you never did anything for me. What did the father say? Son, all that I have is yours. And actually, the father was even more right. Why? Because when the things were divided, do you think the elder one took his things and he was using them? No. It remained there in the pot. So now the father says, actually all that I have is yours. Now, the problem was that this elder son was only slaving and slaving and being a slave, serving the father as a slave, instead of enjoying the benefits of being a son. He says, all that I have is yours. So you could have been feasting all the time. Amen. Tell your neighbor, all that the father has is yours. You could have been feasting all the time. Amen. So it means if my situations are not changing, if things in front of me, they look like they are not working out well, I know who is my father. I'm an heir of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I am a child of God. Yes. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I know who is my father. My father is the owner of everything. Amen. He has everything. He says, all that I have is yours. I just go to him and ask it in the name of Jesus. And my father does it for me because he loves me. But sometimes when you are going through challenges, you even forget that, isn't it? You even forget that you have a father who cares for you. You feel like an orphan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. I'll do it in the Passion Translation, TPT. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. Because if I'm united with God and the Spirit of the Lord lives in me, sometimes people look at me and just see a mere human being. You know, that's how they said about Jesus. They used to see him as just the son of a carpenter. And then they miss out. So people who do not know the God in you may undermine you. Some of you, you even undermine yourselves because you don't know the God in you. Amen? Now, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. I'll do it in the Passion Translation. I like this. It says, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within. In other words, when you look at me, I look like a common clay jar, like an ordinary human being. But there's something in me. Tell your neighbor, there's something in me. There's a treasure in me. Amen. Because the Spirit of the Lord is within me, and the connection of God's Spirit and my spirit, there's great potential of good things happening. He says, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure. And I told you before that the reason why the jar is common clay and the treasure is in the jar, it's so that you may know that the issue is about the treasure, not about the clay. Because if the container was gold, golden vessel, let's say you put a good treasure in a golden vessel, people may end up looking more at the container, the golden vessel, than the treasure. Yeah, that's what some of you do. You give other people a present. The container of a present is nicer than the present. Okay? So, the right way to do it is that let the container be a simple one. But when they open there, can they find a treasure?
Yeah.
Amen? So it says, even we are like a common clay jar that carry this glorious treasure. And I told you that even our jars, if people were just looking at our jars, they may look at your jar and undermine it. But there's something in you. Amen? So that this, it says, it's like that, so that this immeasurable power will be seen as God's and not our own. So in other words, people know that when I say I'm going to pray for you and God heals you, you know I'm just a common clay jar. But the power that is within me is God's power. Amen? So even you as a child of God, even in your own homes, people may look at you and undermine you. But when they see that you speak and things happen, they will start respecting you because the power of God in you is at work. Amen. Amen? Amen? So he says, so that the power will be seen as God's and not ours. Now, I like this. Look at this. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we are not crushed. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you may be experiencing a lot of pressure now, but you are not crushed. Then he says, at times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, at times you really don't know what to do. You think, I've done everything. Maybe you pray, you fast, you have all night prayers, you do everything. I've done even everything that the pastor said. I've even tried to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I've done everything. And still it seems not working. He says, at times we don't know what to do. But quitting is not an option.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, even when you don't know what to do, quitting is not an option. Because you are having a profession of faith. Don't quit your profession. Yeah, tell them. Because you've got a profession of faith, don't quit your profession. So quitting is not an option. Then he says, we are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. Amen? So you may be knocked down, but you are not out. There is nothing wrong with being knocked down. It's part of the warfare. As long as you don't give up, as long as you don't throw in the towel, amen? But we don't have to throw in the towel, because if God is with us, if God is on our side, we win. And I want to link it to, like I said, that because I want you to see this secret in our faith. How does faith work? How do we succeed with faith? It's not positive thinking. It's not psychology. It's faith. And how does it work? Now, Look at Colossians 1:27. Mr. Mkosi will do Good News Translation, GNT, Colossians 1:27. Because I want to share with you this secret. And like I said, today we're talking about our profession of faith. I want to show you this secret, how this faith thing works and why it works. So I told you that the faith you have is the faith of God, and that's why it works. I told you that this faith works as you speak, as you prophesy, as you profess, and it's your profession. You can declare things, you can declare about the future. And I told you that the Spirit of God and confirms with your spirit that you are a child of God. You are an heir. All that the Father has is yours. Now, let's listen to the secret. Colossians 1:27. And that's the secret I want to expand on a little bit today as we are continuing with our profession of faith. Colossians 1:27, GNT.
God's plan is to make known his secret to his people.
Okay, what is God's plan?
To make known
his secret to his people. When somebody has a secret, it's something that's hidden that nobody, other people mustn't see it. Okay? God's plan is to make known his secret, not to everybody, because it will no longer be a secret, man. To his people. So when God reveals his secret to you, you are privileged. Amen? Yeah, people usually like secrets. Sometimes they will say, I've got a secret and I will only share with my closest friend, with my confidantes. Okay? So tell your neighbor, I'm God's confidante. He shares his secrets with me. Why? Because if the Spirit of God lives in me, God is living in me. So it means I know his secret. I've got the mind of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So what is this secret, Mr. Mkosi? Just read further.
This rich and glorious secret which he has for all his people, all peoples. And the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you will share in the glory of God.
Okay, the secret is out. So what is the secret? Christ is in me. Then I can share in the glory of God. So if people come and ask you, what's the secret of your success? We see that even when you are going through difficult times, we still see you coming on, keeping on going to church. Even when you are going through difficult times, we still see you still continuing to live and not committing suicide. What's the secret? You tell them the secret is Jesus in me.
Amen.
Amen. What makes the difference is the secret is Jesus in me. Now, I want to make this secret very simple. In the book of Zechariah, I like this, and you will like it also with me. Zechariah chapter 4. I was supposed to be having a picture, but I will make you picture something. I will describe something, and I want you to picture it. As we go to Zechariah chapter 4, from verse 1 to verse 10, I'll do it in the ERV, easy to read version. Okay. Yeah, I should have been having a picture of it, but I'll make you picture it. How many of you have a picture of a lampstand? You know those things where it's like, it starts, some of you use it to decorate it. Here it will be like it's one lamp, and then it has got other lamps like this. They go like that. So it's usually, yeah, it would be like this, and then the, yeah, so let's say this is the thing, and then they will be like this. Then there's the middle one here, and then they just go like this, all of them. You know them. Yeah. So that's what we call a lampstand with lamps, each one of them. Okay? Now, I will make it simple, especially for those of us from rural areas. When we grew up, we didn't have lampstands, but we had lamps. One lamp. Okay? That one lamp, we would, make a light and then put it there, and then you will get then the light in that lamp. And if you don't blow that lamp out by breath. What else would make that lamp to go off? When the paraffin is finished. Now, I want to ask you a question. Imagine the paraffin is finished and the lamp still wants to continue. Can it continue without the paraffin? It's not possible. Okay. Now, if that lamp has the paraffin is keeping on going, that lamp will keep on going, isn't it? So it means the ability of the lamp was not in the lamp itself. The ability of the lamp was because of the paraffin. Okay. Now, I'll go back to the lampstand, and this is what Zechariah saw. And I want to show you that your connection with God and what the power of God in you is like that oil that supports the lamp. You will keep on having the light if you are connected to the source. And this is what Zechariah say in Zechariah 4:1-10 ERV. Then the angel who was talking to me returned and woke me up. I was like a person waking up from sleep. Then the angel asked me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see a solid gold lampstand." Now the thing that I was telling you about. "There are seven lamps on the lampstand." So there's this middle one and three this side, three this side. So there are seven. Okay? There are seven lamps on the lampstand. And there is a bowl on top of it. There are seven tubes coming from the bowl. One tube goes to each lamp. Can you picture that? So there is a bowl here with oil. And each bowl, there is a tube that is conveying the oil from the bowl to each lamp. The tubes bring the oil in the bowl to each of the lamps. There are two olive trees by the bowl, one on the right side and one on the left side. These trees produce the oil for the lamps. Then I asked the angel who was speaking with me. Okay, now we are starting to have questions now. Say, what do these things mean? The angel speaking with me said, "Don't you know what these things are?" "No, sir," I said. Okay. So imagine you saw that yourself. And they say, "What does it mean?" There is the bowl. It's got oil. There are tubes that connect the lamps to the bowl. And there's the oil that is keeping on making that lamp to keep on going on. Then they ask you, "What is making this lamp to always have the light?" The source of the light in this lamp is because of its connection with the bowl. It's because of the oil that's constantly flowing. Now think of the oil in the life of a Christian as the Holy Spirit. Okay? And you think of God as your source, as the source. And if you are constantly connected with God, do you think anything will be too difficult for you? Do you think it's an effort for the light, for the lamp to produce the light if it's connected to the source? No. That's why now the answer is. He said, "This message, this is the message from the Lord to Zerubbabel. Your help will not come from your own strength." So think of Zerubbabel as that lamp. He says, "Your help will not come from your own strength and power. No, your help will come from my spirit. Your help will come from the oil that is supplying you and giving you the ability to produce that light, the ability to be powerful, the ability to keep on going in life even when things are difficult." So tell your neighbor, "My strength is not emanating from me myself. My strength is from the power of the Holy Spirit in my life." And if my strength is from the power of the Holy Spirit in my life and God is at work within me, do you think anything will be difficult for me? We like saying nothing is too hard for the Lord or nothing is impossible for God. Do you know, but do you know what Jesus said in Mark 9:23? He says, all things are possible to him who believes. So Jesus put it to us as we are putting it to God and saying that all things are possible to God. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. So it means as long as I'm connected to God as my source, as long as the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I have the power. And God's power can be manifested through me. And look at this now. He says, your help will not come from your own strength. No, your help will come from my Spirit. This is what the Lord, the All-Powerful, says. That tall mountain will be like a flat place. So that big problem that you are facing, it says it will be like a flat place for Zerubbabel. Here, Zerubbabel was going to build the house of the Lord. So this scripture also encourages me as we build. He says, he will build the temple. And when the most important stone is put in place, the people will shout, beautiful, beautiful. You know, when people shout beautiful, even when we are building, they don't know what is going on behind the scene. Yeah. They only see a completed building and say, beautiful, beautiful. There's a lot of things that go behind the scene. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So even now, even I think, Chairperson, you will even tell them, another time we'll give you testimonies about many oppositions that we are getting to build. And some of you just see things going. It's because there are people who are staying connected with God. Amen. Not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. So even where the enemy thinks that these things must be stopped, these things cannot continue, it keeps on continuing. Amen. Even when some decide, no, we are not going to give and we will see that this thing will stop, they still find it going. Amen. Amen. To show that this is not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Lord is doing it, when he's touching your heart to be in this, don't quench the Spirit. Be part of it. It says, I know that God, I'm also part of this which the Lord is doing. So he says, that tall mountain will be like a flat place before Zerubbabel, and he will build the temple of the Lord. And when the most important stone is put in place, the people will shout, beautiful, beautiful. We all like beautiful things, isn't it? The Lord's message to me also said, Zerubbabel will lay the foundations for my temple and he will finish building it. Then you will know that the Lord All-Powerful has sent me to you people. People will not be ashamed of the small beginnings, and they will be very happy when they see Zerubbabel with the plumb line measuring and checking the finished building. Now, the seven sides of the stones you saw represent the eyes of the Lord looking in every direction. They see everything on earth. Amen. Amen. So do you see now that if I am that lamp, what is my secret to keep on showing the light? I must stay connected. As long as the oil is flowing, I'll keep on brighten the corner. Where you are, brighten the corner, where you are. You see, I'm brightening the corner where I am. I can only do that if I stay connected. Tell your neighbor, stay connected.
Stay connected.
That's the secret of your faith. That's the secret of your success. Because you see, if you are going to do faith in your own power, in your own strength, you are going to struggle. Yeah. Faith works as we depend on God. Faith works as we become like children before God. You know, little children, they just trust and depend on parents. Amen? So in other words, it's not going to be by how much you struggle. So if you look at that portion of scripture that says, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit. If I go back to oil, and I want to make things, you see, you can use the oil as the source of energy, as the source of, yeah, as the source of that power like we showed with that lamp. But do you know that you can also use oil as a lubricant to make things smooth? If you are trying to pull something and maybe it's a bit rusted, and you're pushing very hard. If you apply oil.
Amen.
Amen. So when you see us going, we know the secret.
Amen.
We've got the oil.
Amen.
Amen. Because some of you then will be using strength and power. And surprise, that is not working. You need just the oil of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, you know, there are things that make things simple. You know, the old cars, they used to be this car. You have to... Now we've got what we call power steering. Even if it's a big truck, imagine if that big truck, you were supposed to, this, especially those long ones, and you were supposed to use the original things that has no power steering. How do you turn that big thing? So now you've got to know, sometimes you don't even hold, you just... And it goes. Why? Because there is power steering behind that. There is an oil behind that.
Amen.
So can you use your faith like that?
Yeah.
Where it's not a struggle, you just go.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And why is it simple? Because there is the oil.
Amen.
You are not depending on your own strength. Some of you are trying to work faith and work hard. The difference between law and grace. In law, you struggle to get things. You make things happen yourself. In grace, you depend on God and God does it for you as you trust Him.
Amen?
Amen? I would rather go for grace, where I depend on God and God comes through for me. Where I trust God, where I just obey God. When God says, give and it shall be given back to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together. When God says I must give my tithe, when God says I must give, and then I just give and see God working out for me. When some of you are struggling to say, no, I've got to really work very hard. I've got to really do this. I've got to really get a tender. I've got to really do this. I've got to have that connection. Uh-uh. We've got the secret.
Amen.
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 Just do it God's way.
Amen.
We trust Him. We obey Him. We do what He tells us to do. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. And then you will find that faith works. Faith is easy. So let's start winding down. I still have a few things to say, but I've got to start winding down. So we're not landing yet. John 15, 1 to 7, NLT. John 15, 1 to 7, it shows the same principle that we showed you now in Zechariah. But now Jesus was making it practical for us to understand. John 15, 1 to 7, NLT. He says, I am the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. Now, Jesus says He is the grapevine. And we are the branches. Okay? So if you are a branch and you are connected to Jesus, do you have to struggle to bear fruit? As long as you are connected, you've got to keep on bearing fruit. Okay? Because you are depending on the source, on Him as the source. He says, verse 4, remain in you and I will remain in you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Tell your neighbor, on your own, you cannot make it. Remain in the Lord. Stay connected. So then he says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So you remember that lamp. If that lamp, no matter how much it wants to give light, if it's not connected to the source of oil, it will go off. That's why some of you are struggling in your Christian walk. You've lost the connection. Okay. Some of you have lost the network. Okay. You've lost the connection. Can you get connected, reconnected?
Amen.
You know, the WhatsApp usually like saying reconnecting. Because if you lose the network, it won't work even if you want it to work. The network only works when it's connected. It may have the name work when you call it network, but if it's not connected, it won't work. It only works when it's
connected.
Even in my Christian walk, I keep on going as I remain connected to Him. That's why the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up high with wings as eagles. They will walk and not faint and grow. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Because they are trusting, you are depending on God. Now He says, without me you can do nothing. Verse 7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. You see how faith works? If you remain connected to Him, now your faith can work. Now you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted to you because you are connected to Him. But when you are not connected, you can try and work. That's why you will have to do gimmicks sometimes. You will be like the prophets of Baal. You remember the prophets of Baal? When Elijah and the prophets of Baal, you remember? When Elijah said to them, how long are we going to hold between these two ideas? If God is God, let Him be God, let's worship Him. If Baal is God, let's worship Him. But then the God who answers by fire, let Him be God. So the prophets of Baal, Elijah said, you start. So they were starting there, they were doing everything and jumping and shouting and all that. And it says it was just silent. There was nothing. They even started cutting themselves and started bleeding. And still, there was nothing. Because Baal is not alive. Okay? So after they've done everything, it says when it was going toward evening, Elijah said to them, okay, give me a chance. Okay? I like serving the living God, man. How many of you know that it doesn't matter how much you shout and how much you jump, if your God is dead, there will be no answer. Because there's nothing. Now comes Elijah. He says, okay, let's start it this way. Let's make a bit of show. Just get some water and pour the water on that altar, on my offering. Just in case some of you will say, no, maybe there was some spark underneath. Just pour a lot of water. They poured water. He says, pour again. Until there was trenches in the water, like water all over. How many of you know that when you want fire, you don't need water? You don't need water. Water is the worst thing that you can have when you want to make fire. But he says, because this is not about strength, it's about God, the all-powerful God. It doesn't matter if there is water, there will be fire. Because He is the Almighty God. Then He just spoke. And then fire came. It even consumed the water, everything, and burnt the burnt offering. Did you see how Elijah got it the simple way? The prophets of Baal tried jumping and doing, cutting themselves, and nothing happens. So even for you, children of God, the thing that must give you confidence is not your own ability. It's not your own strength. Your confidence should be in the fact that you are connected. You stay connected. Do you know that there are people who have got confidence that they've got a political connection? Huh? Yeah. Other people will tell you they are confident because they have political connection. Do you know what connection I have? I have a godly connection. I'm connected to the Father. I'm connected to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen? When you are still talking political connection, we talk heavenly connection. Amen? Because I'm connected to the source. And if I'm connected to the source, then God will work it out for me. And actually, when you walk with God, can you be so much connected to God that God becomes like your friend? Yeah, sometimes I say to Obey, even yesterday, Mommy, I'm sorry. So sometimes I would say, I'm going to my other friend. Because basically I've got two main friends. Is this one and the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah, and some of you in a distance. Amen. Yeah, and you need to spend more time with your friend, with your closest friend. So if Jesus is your friend, spend time with him. Mm. Some of you say, what a friend we have in Jesus. But you don't spend time with your friend. Hmm? What a kind of a friend is he? Because if he's really my friend, I just want to spend time with him. Sometimes I move away from the rest of you just to spend time with my friend. And when I'm with my friend, we share secrets. That's why sometimes he would reveal things to me and I know things. Amen? Yeah. That's the good thing with having a friend who knows everything, man. Huh? Sometimes we share some of those things. So that's why if you are a child of God, spend so much time with God that even when there are things still coming, the Spirit of the Lord will guide you. And sometimes he will even tell you, don't go there. Amen? Because he knows. So your friend knows everything. Tell your neighbor, your friend knows everything. Yes. Jesus knows everything. The Holy Spirit in you knows everything. So, if you want to stay out of trouble, stay connected to your friend who knows everything. He will show you things to come. He will reveal things to you. Because sometimes we land into trouble because we are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit within. The other time I told you that as a Christian, you are like an amphibian. An amphibian can live in water as much as it can live inland. So you can live in the spiritual realm just as much as you can live in the natural realm as a child of God. So that's why I'll end with these two portions of scriptures. James 2:23 in the Good News Translation. James 2:23 in the Good News Translation says, and the scripture came true that said, Abraham believed God, and because of his faith, God accepted him as righteous. And so Abraham was called? Read it in your Bible. Because you will answer it wrong. This one is not. Yeah, in this one, Abraham was called? Imagine you are called the friend of God. So, Mommy, I'm not far-fetched. Huh? He's my friend. Amen. Can you have God as your friend? Can you so much confide in Jesus that he's your friend? I told you the other time that when you have a friend, enjoy the company of your friend. That's why some of us, we're very sensitive. We are like little children. You know that little children, when they're in a place, they first study the mood. They can see who they can trust. They are laid back and then checking. After that, they will see, oh, then they jump on this one because they can see this one. I can befriend. Amen? So if indeed Abraham was the friend of God. And if you look in Hebrews 11:5-6, the message, it says, by the act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and they couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. So, Enoch walked with God by faith, and then God was pleased with Enoch. So, as much as Abraham was called the friend of God, even Enoch walked with God like a friend. And these things are written for us so that we may also learn and walk with God as our friend. So now I'm landing with Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation. And this is what I want to encourage all of you to do in your walk with God, in your walk of faith. That spending time in fellowship with God, always getting connected, isolating yourself, going to the place just to spend time with God, it works. You know that Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, sometimes you will hear the Bible saying he isolated himself and went away to pray. Spend time in the presence of God. Because if my strength is in God, then I've got to stay connected to him. There is a saying that the strength of a crocodile is in the river or in the water. They say the crocodile is very strong, but if it's outside the water, it's not as strong. So don't stay out of your stronghold. Your strength is in fellowship with God. Your strength is in staying connected with God. So Revelation 4, 1 and 2, the Passion says, then suddenly, after I wrote these things, I saw a portal open into the heavenly realm. You see, that's one realm called the heavenly realm. And the same trumpet voice I heard speaking with me at the beginning said, ascend into this realm. So it's necessary to ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. You see a friend calling you? Yes, come over here. Ascend into this realm. I want to show you things. I want to reveal to you because I'm your friend. Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm. And behold, I saw. Amen. So it means I will always want to have this time with the Lord because I want him to reveal himself more to me. I want him to show me what is coming to pass. And did you know that if you are going to exercise your faith already knowing what God has said, you've got confidence because you know already the answer. So I want you even in your prayer walk that you pray until you have got a breakthrough in your spirit, even before you can see it with your natural eyes. The moment you have that breakthrough, then you can relax because in the spirit realm, you already have it. Then you know it's just a matter of time and it will be manifested in the natural. So that's why we're saying faith is our profession. And I want you to stay tuned. Okay? We told you earlier about this connection. The problem with losing connection is that then you are disconnected, isn't it? Yeah, we told you if you don't have the network and then you are disconnected, then you won't remain connected. The other illustration that I usually like, which also helps here, as you stay connected, also stay tuned. Okay? There is the thing about turning on, I like this example of turning on the television set. That's just one step. But you also need to tune into the right frequency. The reason why you do not receive a particular station is because you haven't tuned to that frequency. Isn't it? Yeah. It's not that the station is not broadcasting. So tell your neighbor, if you haven't been hearing God, it's not that God is silent. You are just not tuned into his frequency. And if you are not tuned to that frequency, it won't work. So firstly, at least turn on your television set. Turn on your receivers. So you turn on by spending time with him. At least go to his presence. That's where you start. Amen. Avail yourself. Attend to God as your friend. And as you are there, then you are in the right place. Then you can tune into the frequency. And even if sometimes you know that those old radio things, you would move from one station to another and moving them like this, then you go, wah! Then you know you are out of tune. Then when you go, you can hear it, but it's not real. Then you want to fine tune it. So even in your walk with God, sometimes you will hear, wah! Then you don't know. So just keep on tuning it.
Amen.
And then you hear, I'm not sure, is it me or is it the Spirit of the Lord? Is it me? Is it God? And as you're tuning it, as you align what you're hearing with what God's word said in the Bible, then you can already start seeing it and start being real in your life. Amen.
Amen.
So, thank you. I like this. And I said to you, this is the profession of our faith. In this profession, you can speak or profess or declare. That's a profession. But I also like it as a profession that this is my way of life. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So I use my faith all the time. Amen. So I want us to stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard. And after that, I will ask the worship team to come and do that song. Umuzimu wa Israel. Abali ringa chitu. Abali ringa vurwa zendi. If any among you is not feeling well.